Welcome to Driven Radio Show, your home for car talk covering the latest news to the greatest views on the biggest names in performance, sports, and just plain cool driving machines. Let's rev up the conversation. Time for Driven Radio Show.
Hey, all you gearheads and car fiends. Welcome to Driven Radio Show, your weekly automotive happy hour. I am Brett Hatfield, here with my co-host and engineer extraordinaire, Mr. Mark Groves.
That's me.
And we are coming to you from the palatial Driven Radio Studios.
Yes, where the view of the ocean is magnificent. Seagulls crap on everything, but
we should be so lucky.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, speaking of birds crapping on stuff, we've got a little robin that's built a nest on our deck stairs out here, and it has four little teeny tiny robin eggs in it. So we're going to have baby chirpers going before too long. Where's your Mopar? What's going on with it?
It runs.
Cool.
I know. It's like a miracle.
Does it stop?
Yes, actually stops decently.
That's even more cool.
I know. That's the two best things you can have in a car, but it doesn't run well when it's idling. And
is it that stupid carburetor?
You know, Daryl says he doesn't think it's carburetor. You know, the automatic choke's got to get fixed. And he's still looking for that little friggin' part on this
carburetor. The reason I see stupid carburetor and the automatic choke and all that is because it was a carburetor I've never heard of.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, there are things in the car world I've never heard of.
Yeah.
You know, I learn new stuff all the time. But if you've got a carb nobody's ever heard of, where are you going to find parts for it?
You know, I've heard of it, but I'd swear it was like some old aircraft thing. So, what he thinks it is the vacuum. There's some vacuum hoses, and there's one that he pinched off, and it would run better. And he's like, there's an issue here, but
screw it. Just stick a golf tee in it and be
done
with it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's what I'm thinking. But at least it's running, and he's still trying. He's sourcing stuff. He's been looking all over the web, and he's got phone calls out and some emails out to places that have those type of parts or rebuilt parts.
I will buy you a Holycarb and an intake manifold. Just stick it on there and be done.
Well, that's one of the things if we get so far out that, you know, in another 2-3 weeks, and it's like it's just not coming in, I'm gonna start pushing for that, saying, come on, let's play with it.
Just swap the carb and make life easier.
It's almost all original, or better yet, who cares if it's original if you can't drive it?
Better yet, have you looked on the Holley website to see if they've got a sniper fuel injection system for it?
No, I have not.
It may, you know, it'd be more costly, but you'd never have to worry about fiddling with it again.
Yeah. And it might start easily.
It probably would.
Yeah. 64. We're talking about, by the way, a 64 Dodge Custom 880.
A fairly rare car. They didn't make a ton of them, and they didn't make them for too many years.
Yeah. Cause they didn't like them. Well, they didn't sell.
It was a decontented version of another Mopar product.
I'm still trying to decide whether I'm going to make the license plate just say Sybil, because it's got so many different influences
its design. First of all, you have to be of a certain age to get the joke, which is our age.
I know, right?
You know, you got to have white hair growing out of you someplace. And don't curse the car just yet.
But Sybil, you know, Sybil made it. Sybil did good.
And
I saw
besides,
the movie for TV.
There's another car that might deserve that more. hey, speaking of Daryl having a classic car that belongs to one of us, my Stingray's still down there. He's still doing the new wiring harness in the engine bay that was burnt up.
Wow.
And also the new alternator. We're trying to figure out why this thing keeps eating alternators, and it's kind of odd. So anyway, he's doing that, but more shocking than that, far more shocking than
shocking
that.
Shocking than that.
The Schadenfreude Express lives. All the mechanical stuff on it is fixed. It
drives
beautifully. I've had it home for the last couple of days, and it has Bluetooth through the stereo, so I'm able to listen to any stinking thing I want. Big
nice.
Thanks to Matt Miner and the folks and Randy, the tech at Aristocrat Motors, who does all of the old stuff that nobody else knows how to touch. thank you for getting that done. I appreciate it. The car drives brilliantly. We're down to cosmetics. And, you know, it looks pretty darn good now. It has some stuff that needs to be addressed, but God, it drives as well as I remember.
Stick some Bondo in that dent and put a wrap on it.
And it still comes on like a freight train. That thing is so stinking quick and just rolls once you get moving. So, oh, man, at least I got one thing home and working. Holy crow.
Well done, you.
Our special guests this week are Devin Roth and Joe Searer of the McPherson College Automotive Restoration Technology Program and organizers of the 24th Annual College Auto Restoration Students, or CARS, Car and Motoring Festival, taking place May 4th. That's right, coming up next weekend on the McPherson College campus. Devin is a junior from Comstock, Wisconsin. He is an AMC specialist who is part of the Path to Pebble Mercedes restoration team. Joe is also a junior, but he is from St. Louis, Missouri, and he spoke to us last year about the car show. He enjoys pre-war coach-built autos. Wow, that doesn't sound expensive at all.
Nah.
With a focus on small Italian Barchettas. He has been a guest judge at the Pebble Beach Concours d'Elegance, as well as a class winner of both Amelia Island and Arizona Concours. Devin and Joe, welcome to Driven Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Good to be here.
So I know that part of the fun of Car Show Weekend is the pre-show downtown on Friday night, where everybody brings whatever they got. Do you guys know what's coming this year? What are you personally taking? Can you talk to us a little bit about the Friday night show?
So Friday night is just a casual cruise in on Main Street. Starts at 6 p.m. and we shut down three blocks of McPherson's Main Street. And you're welcome to just bring your car, park it, and walk around amongst the other cars. Maybe go to a local business, grab a beer or a sandwich. And there's a really great sandwich shop called Nafi's. Mm-hmm. There are a few Mexican restaurants.
We've got a new pizza ranch.
And there's a new pizza.
Hot diggity.
There you go.
That's got the buffet with the fried chicken in it, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I've been to one, and that was an experience.
There you
go. I've never had a pizza with corn chicken.
You will be able to find so. And if memory serves, in past years, there have been people out on the sidewalk grilling, making hamburgers and hot dogs. And
oh, dude, this sounds like so much fun. What are you guys going to drive in?
Oh, my Rambler will be there for sure. If it makes it there in one piece, we'll see.
Now, describe it for those who weren't around for the conversation before the show.
I have a blue 59 Rambler American.
Cool.
Yep. Two-door sedan. Very plain, boring.
Oh, that's not boring. It's a two-door. It's sporty.
Sporty. We'll call it that.
Your great-grandfather started a lineage in that thing, so don't knock it till you try it.
Oh, that's foul.
What's it got in it?
The flathead six, so 196.5 cubic inch flathead six. So.
Hell yeah.
What were those rated at?
90 horsepower, but they lied. I dynoed it. It makes 74.
Sounds like a few of those ponies have escaped the corral.
Just hearing I dynoed a 59 Rambler is just so pleasant. I love it. And is it a three on the tree, automatic? What you got?
Yes, sir. Three on the tree.
Ah, nice.
I really wanted him to tell us it was tubbed and had wrinkle walls on the back.
What about you, Joseph?
Well, I actually don't have a project car, so maybe edit that out. No. I don't know.
Oh, do you have a running car?
Do you have a car you'll be driving there?
I have a daily driver, yes. It's my Saab, the 9.5 Aero Wagon, 5-speed.
Okay, so that was towards the end of Saab production. What year is it?
It's an 02.
Okay, what was the last year for Saab?
I think 11 or 12.
Oh, they ran that late. I thought they quit making them long before that.
So it's a GM-produced car, but it still has Saab powertrain, Saab-built engine and transmission.
Yeah, before GM decided to make the one-size-fits-all SUV and just slap multiple badges on it.
Yeah, they literally put an LS in one of the later model Saab SUVs.
Oh, so they made it a good Saab.
Oh, wow. That hurt. Let's see. Who had 10 minutes in before somebody got kicked in the teeth?
You ever wonder what a fist fight sounds like? You're about to find out.
Oh, that's just mean, man.
Well, you know, it's kind of like when Ford took over Jaguar, and then they all just became probes.
Ford took over Jaguar and Aston Martin and Volvo. And Ford had their hands in a lot of stuff, just like, you know, GM at one time owned Lotus.
Or Stellantis with Fiat, or did they?
Oh, yeah.
They finally dealt that out of the deck, if I remember right. Sorry, we're getting off to the side. So anyway, it sounds like a very, very cool car that you'll be able to bring down and show off.
So 24 years of the College Auto Restoration Student Show, and it just seems to get bigger every year. What time Saturday morning does registration begin? What is the college's address? Where do people go to register? And you've got a lot of pre-entries, I'm sure, that are already on the books. One of them is my Stingray, if Daryl gets it finished in time. How many pre-entries do you have? So lots of questions. So let's start with how many pre-entries you have.
Right now, we have around 103, I think, the last count.
That's pretty healthy. That's not bad. Do you know how many cars you expect? What was turnout last year?
Last year was 475 cars exactly.
Wow. That's huge.
And this year, we are expecting about 400 or more. We're being a little conservative with our estimates.
Okay. So what time does registration begin?
Registration begins at 8 a.m.
Okay. And what's the college's address for those who don't know?
1600 East Euclid Street, McPherson, Kansas, 67460.
But what street do you have to go over to get to Templeton and the cul-de-sac on the backside of the school?
You have to go down Bear Street, which there will be police there in the morning directing traffic.
Spell Bear. Is it B-E-A-R or is it?
E-A-E-R.
Okay. Bear. Okay. And for those who don't know, that is the east side of campus, correct? If memory serves. Yep. You have to go down to the east and go over by the sheds. Oh, Mark, wait till I take you over to the sheds and you get to see all the stuff all the students are working on. It's so cool. You really need to go tour that. Maybe if you get down there early enough Friday, I can take you over. 8 o'clock over off Bear, over by Templeton, where the restoration program is. And you register when you pull up into the cul-de-sac, correct?
Yes. Yeah. We welcome day of show registration. And that's actually where the majority of our entrants come from, or day of show.
Oh, yeah.
And so you just pull up to the cul-de-sac and they will take care of you, which class you're in, and get you your registration card, your program, and get you right on your way.
Now, I know it's a free show and you don't really track how many people are there, but does anybody get an estimated head count from last year? Any idea how many people showed up?
We have a best guess was 5,000 people based off of some metrics programs and stuff. We take a bunch of pictures throughout the day and right around 5,000.
So. I know it's a heck of a big crowd when you're there. And here's the other thing, and this is what people may not understand if they've never been. Because the restoration program is what it is and it has the affiliations they have, Jay Leno, is he on the board of directors? Is it the board of directors that Jay's on? Or
so. Not,
or was one time Craig Jackson, Dave Kinney, and just help me out, guys. Let's run through some of the people who are on the board.
Paul Russell, yep. Miles Collier, Dave Kinney, Tom Cotter, and Rod Emery out of California.
Oh, I didn't know Rod Emery was on there.
Mm-hmm.
Very
mm-hmm.
cool. The point being is that the restoration program is very much connected with everybody in the collector car world, classic car world, and the show is much bigger and much better than any little town in central Kansas has a right attracting mm-hmm. because of the program and the affiliation there. So, honest to God, folks, if you haven't been there and you can make it, it's really worth the trip. Is there a registration fee for the show?
Yes. Day of show registration is $25.
Okay.
And that can support the Cars Club, who puts on the show every year.
Okay. And what are some of the categories people can enter?
So we have different classes. We have, and they're split by foreign and domestic, and they're all separated by different eras of cars, you know, when there was a real design shift. So we have you know, all the way from the beginning of the first car up to like 1927, and then 27 to 44, and then 44 to 55, so on and so forth. And then we even have classes all the way up to present day foreigns and domestics.
Okay. And are the classes strictly broken out by years or eras, or do you have classes for sports cars or different types of cars?
We also have a tractor, utility, and military vehicle class. We have a hot rod custom modified class. We have a trucks class, and we have two motorcycle classes. So there's going to be quite a variety, as always.
I did not hear old Mopars with Kragers on them class.
Yeah, what the hell? Jesus, guys. There's a whole new world out there.
Although you probably might fit in early 60s domestic sedan.
Yeah, domestic, very much so.
So there you go. Are the categories judged?
The only categories that are judged are for the cars that have pre-registered for the show online.
Now, this is one of the really great things about the show is every year there are featured cars that are on display. Can you talk about some of the special cars that are going to be there and what makes them so unique?
So one really special car that I'm looking forward to a lot is a 1939 Alfa Romeo 6C2500. And so this is a Superleggera bodied car, bodied by Touring out of Milan. And the history of this car dates back to the mistress of Benito Mussolini. And the two of them tried to escape World War II Italy in that car and got caught at the northern border.
Uh-oh. And this is, I'm guessing, just before they hung him from the bridge.
Correct, yes. So the Liberation Army, I believe, took him from the border to Milan and hung him in the piazza where he was hung.
Oh, wow. That'll be one to see. How about you've got a 1912 Simplex 50 horsepower?
Yeah, it's a huge, beautiful pre-war American car. It's been presented at Pebble and a few other concours before. And that one, it's going to be one of our feature cars around the gazebo, one of our four big cars.
The GM Heritage Center always sends some cool stuff. What are they sending to you this year?
This year we got a couple different ones coming from the Heritage Center. We got the 68 Chevy Astro 2 concept, which I'm looking forward to that one. I think that's pretty cool.
And what makes that car so special?
I just like the look of it, honestly.
We don't know much about the GM cars. We actually weren't told until like recently what they were. So.
I believe the 68 Chevy Astro 2 concept was kind of a loose working for a mid-engine Corvette is what they had in mind when they were doing that.
I thought it was an Astro van. I had to look it up, and I'm like, that doesn't look like an Astro
68's
van.
A little early for an Astro van.
Yeah, but it's a concept one, so I thought, no, those are cool looking.
And also the 72 Buick Silver Arrow 3 concept, which is it's based on a Riviera, on a Buick Riviera, except it's got a lower roof line and different quarter windows in it. And it has triple halogen headlights up front and a bunch of other cool stuff on it. And at first glance, just looks like a Riviera. And then you start to look at it in your eyes thinking, what is different about this? Why? And you, when you start looking at it closely, you find out how unique it really is. Also a 1909 Peerless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A beautiful 1909 Peerless.
Do you think that green color is pretty?
I think it's a beautiful, it's a beautiful
car. The big car is very, very cool looking. It's from the Midwest Dream Car Museum and it's
nice.
Oh, that's Ward's. That's Ward Morgan's museum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Ward's a friend of the show. In fact, he was our very, very first interview ever.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
I love all the brass on that car, too. It just in their museum.
It's why awesome. Do I get the feeling that Joe came really seriously and Devin came just to poke Joe with a stick?
Well, this thing, this Simplex looks like, if you guys have ever watched the god-awful movie called Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, it looks
like... Hey, now, easy.
Hey, that was a Rolls Royce, man.
Oh, was
Come
it?
On.
That's what this looks like. And it, you know, the only thing it's missing is the flap-out wings in the bottom.
Hey, we can work that out.
Yeah, truth.
Okay, another one of the entries on the list is a 1932 Packard Light 8.
Oh.
So the 32 Packard Light 8 was a one-year-only production car, and it's often referred to as Packard Historian by the Hot Rod Packard. So it's a very cool black car. Really looking forward to seeing that one as well.
Hot Rod Packard was a because of the lightweight. Is that what made it a quicker car?
Yeah, the lightweightness of the Light 8.
Okay. We already covered Benito Mussolini's chick's car.
Yeah.
1957 Mercedes 300 SL.
We actually have two 300 SL Roadsters.
Oh, cool.
Oh, my gosh.
Very cool.
Also from private collectors and...
A personal favorite, 1964 Porsche 904. Those things are so stinking cool. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, that one's actually coming right out of Kansas City.
Woohoo!
Is it?
Yeah.
I think I might know a gentleman who used to have one in Kansas City. There can't be that many of them. Is any idea if this is Mark Journey's old car?
No.
Okay. What color is it?
Silver.
Of course it is. Most of them were. 1966 GT40, a Le Mans car.
Mm-hmm. One of the Le Mans cars. Very cool.
So this car was one of the three cars that was in that famous Ford 1-2-3 picture. So this was the third place overall car, chassis 1016.
Who was driving it?
I looked it up too.
Hold on.
I know it's a meaty car. Yeah.
Bucknam and Hutcherson.
Okay. All righty. A 1969 Dodge Charger Daytona, Buddy Baker. There you go, Mark.
Yeah.
Mopar for you.
I heard it.
I'm excited for that one. That's, you know, wings. I'm a NASCAR fan. So that car cemented itself in NASCAR history forever. And, yeah, that's. I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
How did it do that? Is it one of the first ones to run in NASCAR, first wing cars, fastest? What is so special about that 69 Charger?
It was the first car to run 200 miles an hour.
Oh my God!
See, there you go.
Something that freaking big. Wow.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, the competing teams, the opposing teams. Once they saw that, really started hammering NASCAR to ban wing cars.
I don't blame them.
At first, Dodge went out and kicked everybody's butts, and then the wing cars got smaller cubic inch engines for the next year, or for the next couple races, I think. And then, because they only ran the wing cars on the big tracks.
Yeah.
And, by the time 70 rolled around, they were pretty much done. So
yeah, so just wow. a quick flash in the pan that nobody would ever forget, because, you know, running over 200 miles an hour in the late 60s, when you got to be thinking tire technology probably wasn't what it should have been at that time.
That's fast. You run today too.
Yeah.
So what other things are happening at the show? I know in past years, the jazz ensemble has played there and they're really fantastic. Will they be there again this year?
Yep. We'll have our school jazz band again. And then we're also showing our Pebble Beach documentary, The Path to Pebble, in Brown Auditorium.
Oh, cool. Do you know what times?
10:30 and 1 p.m.
Okay, we got to find a way to split and go see that.
I know, right? And it's just during our kind of times, too, because that's when the cheap prices are.
Yeah.
I use my silver discount.
For those of us who really want to partake, will there be food and drinks available?
There will be food trucks on campus, and then there will additionally be a trolley running to and from Main Street all day.
Oh, cool. That's new.
It's pretty awesome.
All right, guys, now it's time to be put on the spot. For each of you, what is the dumbest thing you've ever done in a car?
You want me to go first?
I'll let you go first.
Oh, this better be good.
And this is Devin speaking, by the way, for those of you who want to be able to record this and talk to his parents.
Well, for those of you who are... you're going to be convicted.
You're too young for a statute of limitations. Hit us with it, Devin.
My cousin owns a 2013 Viper. I was 17 and I just graduated from high school. And that was my graduation present, was to get to drive my cousin's Viper, which, what a graduation present. I couldn't have wanted anything else. And I was driving it and I came around the corner going to my house. And this was at my graduation party, and I absolutely floored it. Bang shifted a few gears, and I was at 160 by the time I flew past my house. I got my ass chewed big time.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the police, the chase, the explanation.
Oh, this is in the country, no problem.
I'm curious, by 13, I know early Vipers had nothing on them. They didn't even have exterior door handles, and they didn't have side windows. By 13, was this a coupe? I assume they had traction control, because I've driven early Vipers. You bang shift a couple gears, you get to see where you've been.
This one still didn't have traction control on it.
You're kidding me.
Scary. Yep. I came around the corner, punched it a little too hard, and the ass end got a little squirrely. And yeah, it was a good experience for sure. But that was a very good graduation gift, I will say that.
All right, Joe, you're up. What have you done?
I've racked up some stories since the last time I've been on your podcast.
Well, come on.
Oh, do tell.
Okay, which one of them, which of them can you tell without facing prosecution?
Yeah. First one, I'm going to go ahead and tell it for the sake of the show, but I might be incriminating myself with the Italian government.
That's in Europe. You don't have to worry about that.
So this is all alleged.
There's no extradition.
Alleged, exactly. Alleged. Over the summer, I was on the Mille Miglia. I was part of a support crew for a couple cars. And my buddy Jay and I were in a rinky-dink Fiat 500L, which is like a 500 SUV. And so it's a diesel manual car over there. And it's day three. We're chasing all these cars. And by the time, at this time, we've done about 5 burnouts in the car.
And
in a front-wheel drive diesel Econobox. And we were driving along some roads, and I believe it was like Tuscany, and we overshot a turn, and Jay just looks at me, he goes, "Hang on," and he rips a J-turn in the middle of the road with oncoming traffic both ways, and
God.
Yeah, and so then we get right back on the route. Safe to say, a few months later, all my speeding tickets came in from the cameras.
Which is the inspiration for wearing a Halloween mask while doing things that you know you're going to get in trouble for.
So how much did you rack up? I am curious.
Have you paid any of them, or have you said, that's in Europe, I'll never go back?
I was able to fight them, so I only paid, I think, like 50 euros or something.
That's not bad.
Eventually, through a trick of the guys that we were working with, they actually taped over the letter E and taped it to make it look like the number 8. So all the cameras got duped.
Oh, but there's some guy named Giuseppe somewhere in Italy going, "You son of a bitch."
Oh, hey, by the way, did I mention that this show has an international audience? You may be screwed. Very well done. We've been speaking with Devin Roff and Joe Sear of the McPherson College Auto Restoration Students 24th Annual Car and Motoring Festival, taking place May 4th on the McPherson College campus. Guys, please tell us where we can find the college and the show information online and on social media.
You can find us on Instagram at MC Auto Resto, Facebook at McPherson College Automotive Restoration, and then on the internet, McPherson.edu/autorestoration/cars.
Fantastic. Devin, Joe, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Always fun to have the McPherson kids on.
And they are so patient, because we're not exactly untalkative.
No.
And they were able to get in there edgewise. So good on you, boys. Well done.
Thanks, guys, for putting up with us. The other thing is, you finally get to go down and see all the stuff I've been talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, when I say it's a much better show than you have any reasonable expectation of finding in Central Kansas, it's kind of like skydiving. Until you've done it, you don't get it. And then once you've done it, there's no explaining it to somebody who hasn't been, other than to say, you got to see this.
Well, it sounds fun. It sounds small town, but big event.
Yes.
Which is just the kind of thing I love.
Well,
I mean, that's right up my alley.
It's a small private college, and you're going to have 5,000 spectators there ambling around. I mean,
And a ton of cars.
It sounds like they're expecting close to what they had last year, and they had 475 entries. Good that's Lord. That's a big car show, Mark.
You know, what's kind of hard, too, is it's a lot closer than we are right now to Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
And there may or may not be, I can neither confirm nor deny, a 64 New Yorker.
You're still
that I've
looking?
Been. Oh, this one I okay. saved.
No,
I just
wait.
Hung on to it.
Wait.
And the price is so, it's, oh, damn.
Okay, well, we may have to road trip. And furthermore...
And it's drivable.
This is a lot like what happened to Rhonda and I when we were looking for houses. And we looked for houses for a few years before we finally found this one. That became our hobby, was getting together a couple nights a week, getting on Zillow, and trying to find the ideal house. You've been looking for cars so long, you don't know how to quit looking.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
And now you got one, but you're still, you don't know how to stop looking for them. And I absolutely get that.
Yeah, it's a weird obsession. Luckily, it's a lot calmer than it was, because I used to have a list of favorite saved ones that was just an arm and a leg long.
Well, I can't really give you a lot of grief about this, because how many cars do I have?
Oh, truth.
I still look every day. Every day.
Well, there might be that one.
And I've got several things saved that I'll never buy, but I still look at them. So
luckily, nobody else will either. So there they are.
Yeah, well,
none of that price.
What do you mean you don't have Kragers on your Corvette? What are you thinking?
Oh. You're not wrong.
Yeah. So I can't give you a lot of grief about it. I'm guilty too.
Fair enough.
Thank you so much for spending time with Driven Radio. We love what we do, and we wouldn't be able to do it without the support of our listeners. You can find us online at drivenradioshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Driven Radio Show, and on LinkedIn as Driven Radio Show Podcast. We found that download numbers we get from our provider only represent a small fraction of the actual listens we get on the show, and that streaming listens are not included in that count. Furthermore, iTunes doesn't report squat, not downloads or streaming numbers. So if you are listening to the show, please do us a favor and download it from any place aside from iTunes. You can listen on iTunes if you want. I'm not trying to run down iTunes, but we'd really love to know how many people are really out there listening to
us. And you can put it on a thumb drive and give it away as a gift.
Yeah, there you go.
There you
Merry
go.
Christmas.
See?
Here's Driven Radio.
Happy to you.
On top of that, our Norwegian friend, Christopher.
Yes.
We are going to have on the show soon enough. Unfortunately, we're probably not going to get to do it in the next couple of weeks just because of the schedule and going to McPherson and everything else. But Christopher, here's our idea, pal. We're going to have you on a Saturday morning because you're 7 hours ahead of us. So if Mark and I come and record on a Saturday morning, then that's just evening for you, and we're not asking you to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning to be on the show. So we are going to do that very soon. And along those lines, if you have a story you would like to tell or someone you would like us to interview, please feel free to contact me at Brett@drivenradioshow.com. I am Brett Hatfield for Mark L. Groves.
Yep.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time here on Driven Radio.